Now we're on the record for OPA-PA-09-009 in the appeal of Guam Cleaning Masters. It is approximately 9:06 a.m. on December the 2nd, 2009. We are in the sixth floor of the DNA building in Agonia, Guam. This is the district conference room, and we are here today for the status and scheduling conference in this matter. I am Anthony Camacho. I will preside as the hearing officer. Will the members of the Office of Public Accountability present at this hearing please identify themselves for the record?
George Flores, public auditor.
Ann Camacho, admin officer.
Thank you. Will appellant's counsel please identify himself for the record and any institutional representatives with him today?
Good morning, Mr. Hearing Officer, and Madam Public Auditor. I am here, my name is Douglas Moylan. I'm the attorney for Guam Cleaning Masters, and I'm here with Mr. Alex Thomas, who is the president of Guam Cleaning Masters.
Thank you, Mr. Moylan. Will the Department of Chamorro Affairs for the Government of Guam please identify who are members of the Department of Chamorro Affairs of the Government of Guam who are present at this hearing today. Please identify yourselves for the record.
I'm Juanita Quintanilla, Administrative Services Officer at the Department of Chamorro Affairs.
Michael Kura, Department of Chamorro Affairs, Chamorro Business Manager.
Joseph Artero Cameron, Acting President for the Department of Chamorro Affairs.
Thank you very much. And for the record, Mr. Cameron, it's my understanding that you are not represented by counsel at this hearing today. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. And we're essentially pursuant to the November the 9th, 2009 Notice of Status and Scheduling Conference. I'm just going to go down the itinerary listed in that order. The first is the status of the filings required by Guam Procurement Regulation for Procurement Appeals. And my understanding is that I know that the appellant filed their Notice of Appeal, and that started a clock ticking, requiring the Department of Chamorro Affairs to file a few documents. The first was the procurement record, and you had until November the 4th of 2009 to do that. Was the procurement record in this matter filed with the Office of the Public Auditor?
Yes.
Excuse me, the Office of Public Accountability. And
Any clarification, Mr. Officer?
Yes.
I understood it was November 5th. It was actually filed on the procurement record.
Okay, well, they had up until November the 4th. That was the deadline. But they filed it when?
They filed on November 4th, and then they had to supplement it with more information, and they completed the filing on November 5th.
All right. Now, are any portions of that procurement record proprietary or confidential in nature? Mr. Cameron, Ms. Kerr, Ms. Quintanilla?
None to our knowledge.
All right. And Mr. Moylan, then you know that you have access to that record should you request it.
Thank you. Mr. Minocci, I just wanted to clarify the document that we have stamped from the OPA's office is November 5th.
Okay.
So this is a clarity in the record. I'm not sure if we're going to oppose it at this point, but if the cutoff was November 4th, the record by receiving of the OPA was the 5th.
It was the 5th.
Yeah.
Yes. And they actually, when they filed on November 4th, it was a day early, and that was why they were allowed one more day to complete their filing, because it was incomplete when it was submitted on the 4th, and they completed it on the 5th.
Why
it's marked the 5th.
Thank you very much. Mr. Chairman, so we have no record of a November 4th filing. It was never served upon us. The November 5th document we have dated November 5th from DCA and received by the OPA.
Okay, but so there was a November 4th filing, is that correct?
Yes, and it's exactly the same as the fifth. The only thing that's different is the proposal.
All right, and...
And I could show that to him right now.
Okay. Well, can you take a look at the procurement record that we have on file, and certainly if there's anything else that you feel, or if there's anything you feel that you weren't served, Mr. Moylan, you need to make the requisite request, and if that doesn't work, if you can't work it out, make the requisite motion.
Well, Mr. Okay. Officer, the rule requires that, the OPA's rules require that anything that is filed at the OPA is served upon opposing counsel or opposing party.
Well, that's correct. What I'm saying, though, is if there's something that you feel you didn't receive that was filed,
that is correct.
You need to take that up with the Department of Tomorrow Affairs and try to work it out. If that doesn't work, then you can file the requisite motion, is what I'm telling you.
Thank you.
Likewise, you also have the option of actually reviewing the records that we have on file, okay, with the OPA. All right?
Thank you.
Yeah, so, and just so you understand that anything you file with the Office of Public Accountability, you should also serve on Mr. Moylan. You understand that?
No problem.
Yeah, and that same rule applies to him. He has to also, whatever he files with the Office of Public Accountability in this matter, he has to serve a copy on you. The next thing that was supposed to have been filed was the agency report, and that was due on November the 13th. Did we receive an agency report?
Yes, we did.
Okay. And then the comments on the agency report from the appellant and any of the interested parties, that was due on or about November the 23rd. Were those filed?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And as a result of the comments, the agency then would have 5 working days after it received the comments to file any rebuttal to the comments of the agency report. Were any of those filed?
No rebuttal was filed.
Okay. And that was the deadline for that has passed. Okay. So then the only other matter then would be the second item on the agenda, and that's scheduling of any preliminary motions. Mr. Moylan, do you have any preliminary motions based on the completion of the filings in this matter?
Mr. Hearing Officer, on behalf of Guam Pleading Masters, I was hoping maybe that Mr. Cameron, myself, or Ms. Flores and myself might sit down and discuss essentially what the procurement record and the agency report have revealed. It's our position that it's quite obvious that there's some serious due process problems that were occurring in the effectuation of the procurement process. The reason why I'm asking this is that it's costing Guam Cleaning Masters quite a bit of money and having had counsel, and we believe at the end of the day there's a strong possibility that the respective hearing officer might find that the procurement has been canceled and Guam Cleaning Masters may not have a recovery for this attorney's fees, the cost basically incurred in having to pursue this administrative appeal. One of the motions that I had in my mind is equivalent to a summary judgment motion. This is the first time I've ever gone this far before the OPA's office, and was curious in the type of motions that the OPA's office, that yourself would entertain.
Well, we don't have a motion for summary judgment. That procedure doesn't quite exist. Just so you understand, in the Superior Court of Guam, under the civil rules, what a summary judgment is, if there are no issues of material fact, means to say that after the court comes to where we are, we've completed all the necessary pleadings, and all the material facts are basically agreed upon by both the parties and not contested, and then the court can decide the matter based on a matter of law, that's where a motion for summary judgment is made, and typically a court would look at that and either grant or deny, instead of going to a trial. We don't have that type of equivalent proceeding. In fact, in this matter, I know that you had requested a hearing. Is that correct, Mr. Moylan? Okay. Did the Did the Department of Tomorrow Affairs also request a hearing in this matter?
If that's the only resolution to the matter, yes.
Did you actually file the form, though, in your agency report requesting the hearing? Did they? They didn't? Okay.
No, we did not.
Okay. And, okay, what makes this proceeding different, Mr. Moylan, of course, in an administrative proceeding, the right to a hearing is absolute, okay? Basically, the party has requested a hearing. We're going to hold a hearing, okay? Matter of fact, that's the last item on the agenda, but we'll get to that after this. Despite that, it is the Office of Public Accountability's position to encourage the parties to try to basically arrive at a settlement of the matter, and if that's not possible, then certainly we're going to proceed to a hearing, okay? It's my goal today to follow the rules and to schedule a pre-hearing conference. That is the next step. Of course, we won't hold that immediately, and there certainly will be ample time for the parties to seek a out-of-hearing type settlement of this issue. Okay. Does that answer your question, Mr. Moylan?
I think it does in so many words. Yes, sir.
Okay. And having said that, the next issue then would be a pre-hearing, to schedule a pre-hearing conference in this matter. Okay. I'm going to, as a result of this hearing, issue a notice and a scheduling of a pre-hearing conference. Part of that will be a motion cutoff date. Okay, for the parties to file what motions they feel are necessary in the case that need to be heard before the hearing in this matter. And I know we're also approaching into the holiday season, and I guess when are the parties looking at, when are you available to have a pre-hearing conference this month?
Mr. Officer, my client will be leaving the island shortly. He will not be back until January 9th of 2010. We can do the pre-hearing conference after that. After that date, would be best.
When is your client leaving, Mr. Moore?
He's leaving on December 15th.
December.
Mr. Hearing Officer, were you going to have the motion cut off before or after the pre-hearing conference?
I usually have it before, and the reason being is you make the motions, and we normally schedule when we're going to have the hearing on the motions at the pre-hearing conference.
For a point of clarification,
yes.
Could you define pre-hearing? What happens during a pre-hearing?
Okay, the pre-hearing conference, that is the next hearing in the matter. Basically, I will schedule a motion cutoff date sometime between now and then, and that's when you can file your motions. At the pre-hearing conference, we schedule the formal hearing in the matter. Okay, that's what we schedule. And it's typically about 10 to 2 weeks from the date of the pre-hearing conference. The pre-hearing conference is not the hearing, okay, so don't worry. You still have a lot of time to prepare for the actual hearing. Okay, are you, are the parties available then between December the 10th or the 11th?
Mr. Hearing Officer, the only concern I had there was that motion cutoff date. I would like to have at least 30 days to look at the motions, potentially. Actually, not even 30 days. By the time our client comes back, I'd be prepared for having filed any motions.
Okay, we typically understand that the procurement appeal process is an expedited
sure.
process, and we try to resolve these issues in about a 3 month or 90 days.
The reason I'm saying this is I'm looking at the calendar. Today is the 2nd. If we have the pre-hearing conference at the 10th, that means that I have to file the motions by the 9th, any motions that we had. So I was just curious if that's the... We too wish a speedy resolution to this, but I want to make sure that we have everything that we need on preliminary motions.
Okay. How about if we had the motion cutoff date on the... Let me ask this before we go there. Would your client be available...
Because you're leaving on the 15th?
That's correct.
Is that the evening or the morning?
Morning.
Okay, that's a good enough. Would your, Mr. Moyland, Mr. Cameron, would you be available then to have the pre-hearing conference on the 14th of December?
I'll be available.
Okay, and then we could have the motion cutoff date on the 11th?
That's fine. I'll let you know.
Would that be acceptable?
Yes, it will.
Okay.
I'll be back.
Only the motion cutoff date would be next week, basically December the 11th. And then the pre-hearing conference would be on the 14th. Would you be available at 9 a.m. the same time?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, now, of course, we also have to verify the availability of this room. Okay, if you have any problem with that, then we'll try to, there might be a time change.
Okay.
Yeah, or we can go to another location.
Okay.
Are there any, at the pre-hearing conference at this time, are the parties aware of any persons requiring special accommodations to attend the pre-hearing conference or to participate in the pre-hearing conference?
Are you talking about the ADA accommodations?
Yes. Okay. Mr. Moyland?
No.
Okay. And are there any other matters that you feel I need to take up at this time? From the parties?
The only issue is that I think the functional affairs are indicated that they can serve me with the copy of the document. They've been serving my client, which is great. But if they can serve me as well,
okay, well, typically, when a party is represented by counsel, service goes to the attorney. You don't have to serve the actual party. Okay, there are some extreme circumstances where that might be required, but I don't see any at this time. So, service on Mr. Moyland would be the equivalent of service on Juan Cleaning Masters. Okay, just so you understand that. And likewise, who does Mr. Moyland serve? I know there's three of you here. Who would you like Mr. Moyland to serve his documents? Who actually is the representative at this point for?
Sylvia Flores.
Sylvia Flores
is the president.
Okay. So you would like Mr. Moyland to serve his documents on Sylvia Flores?
Yes. And she'll be back today.
The office is, my understanding is, her office is okay. Just give it to the secretary.
No problem.
All right. That is
good. Thank you.
Good enough. All right. And, we have one more issue.
Just as a point of clarification in the procurement record, because we have an opportunity to review it, okay? Your procurement record should also include the proposals or the submissions of all the other bidders in addition to Juan Cleaning Masters. It's our understanding that some of the other proposals submitted were not part of the procurement record. We did see something from some of the other bidders, and what we were curious to know was that the only submission from any of the different proposers. What we're trying to say is we need everything that was submitted by each of the proposers. And if you could go back to your record, procurement record, to ensure that we receive everything.
You did receive everything. This is everything.
Okay. So, in looking at, for example, the price, it was a grand total and a monthly total. There was no other, just on a preliminary review, we didn't do a thorough review, but we didn't see any other calculation to arrive at how they came to that monthly price. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So your review was just based on what they submitted, a monthly price and a total price, and that was it. Okay, thank you.
Are there there any other issues or questions?
One more question. Did you do an analysis
of each of those? Or because we did see, for example, you itemized it out, what each of... Were you able to do any further analysis as to how they arrived at their price?
We did submit the evaluation sheet and the calculation of our wage and hour.
Oh, you did?
Yes, we did.
Do we recall seeing that?
We submitted that on the second batch, the November.
On the second batch?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. In case, we'll clarify if we did not see that, because that's what we were looking for, the analysis.
I may follow up on public auditor's comment.
Yes.
Can you clarify that? Because I just see that document, but I only saw it for, they called in three of the bidders to meet with them, and they came out with a calculation. Is that what he's referring to?
We did the calculation prior to doing the bid. So the two lowest bidders that didn't meet the wage and hour, we did call them to let them know that they did not meet the wage and hour determination.
My understanding from the procurement record, my understanding from your procurement record was that you called in three bidders, and then you went over their prices, their minimum, whatever the calculations were for their wages. Is that correct?
Yes.
So you only had three come in?
Correct, yes.
And bumping masters wasn't, and that was after you had the bid closing. Is that
correct?
After they submit their bids and close the bid, then you call three of them?
This isn't the formal hearing. This is something you can work out with, but this isn't the formal hearing. We are currently on the record. I will ask this, because this does bring up one issue. I know that you state that none of the documents were proprietary. However, is this a request for proposal, or is this a invitation for bids? Which, because actually at this point, let me ask you that from the get-go. Is this an invitation for bid, or a request for proposals?
It's what we have here is a proposal package, because...
An RFP?
RFP.
Okay. Has the contract been awarded?
Yes.
Okay, so a contract's actually been awarded. At which point, according to the procurement law and regulations, the only thing that... it's only the proposal of the offeror who was selected at this point, that's disclosable. Okay? You understand that?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Moylan, do you have the proposals from the other offerors who were not selected?
We had everything that the OPA's office received on the procurement record. It showed everybody's... Mr. Hearing Officer, one of the problems we're having is that we don't know if it was a bid or an RFP because everything's been mixed together on the rules.
I know that might be one of the issues, but if they're saying that if it's an RFP at this point, okay, the procurement law states that what is publicly disclosable, unfortunately there's an award, so you do have the proposal of the offeror who succeeded in the bid, okay? Yeah, you do have access to that. I'm going to have to take a look. I know that generally the proposals of the offerors who are not selected, okay, might not be publicly disclosable.
Mr. Officer, we have everything that the other than this, the 4th of November.
But if your information right now, I mean, you're not requesting that information. There's no issue. I'm not creating an issue. But I'm just saying that. And also, I know you're not represented by counsel, but generally, that is one of the requirements. Okay, imposed by Guam procurement regulations. If this is a request for proposal, okay, then the document essentially that is disclosable would be, of course, the registrar, okay, of offerors, that's disclosable. The proposal of the offeror who was awarded the contract, okay, that's also disclosable. And not the, basically the proposals of the offerors who are not awarded the bid are not disposable, okay? Typically.
Mr. Hirnosa, thank you, Mr. Hirnosa. All I can say is that we have not received anything outside from the OPA's documents that were served on the OPA.
Okay.
So there are other bids, they're called bid proposals that were submitted that we did receive from the other bidders off or offerors. Again, that's one of the problems that we're bringing up. We don't want to have it adjudicated at this point.
Okay.
But we do have documents indicating from other posers that there were bids from them, and we have a copy of them.
Okay, well, if you were given those in error, I believe that's something the Department of Tomorrow Affairs, to preserve the integrity of the procurement process, would need to resolve through requisite motion or otherwise. Okay? And the regulations can be found if you go to the Guam Compiler of Law website and you look, there's two of them. One is in 5 GCA. That's 5 Guam Code Annotated. That's essentially the Guam Procurement Law. But that body of law is supplemented by Guam Procurement Regulations, which are found in 2 Guam Administrative Regulations, or the GAR. If you look on the Guam Compiler of Law website. And that you will find in Division 4, and it's 2 GAR, Division 4, Chapters 1 through 12, I believe, okay? And that's where you'll find the Guam Procurement Regulations.
Point of clarification?
Yes.
Just terminology. RFP versus bid. The request for proposal versus the bid. Those are two different distinct.
Yeah, okay. Well, it goes like this. The
If you don't mind,
go ahead and
just proceed. Early on, you made a statement that the only documents that should have reached to the legal counsel of the opposing side would have been documents for RFP, since this is what we called it. Inadvertently, now I am aware that there were also additional documents that referred to a bid that has reached this. Is that correct?
That, okay, well, that's one thing I asked you. Now, let me back up a little bit. Generally, when you begin a procurement process, there are only a few methods of solicitation, i.e. methods to select the source of a contract, which are authorized by Guam law, you know, Guam procurement law and Guam procurement regulation. And those are all listed in the laws that I've just described. And that's it. Okay, and all the procedures to properly follow that solicitation process, whichever the purchasing agency chooses, are all listed as well. Okay? There are no other authorized forms of procurement other than those listed in Guam procurement law regulations. And the two of the most common, although they're not the only, two of the most common are the invitation for bids, or an IFB, mm-hmm. or a request for proposal type procedure. It's also known as the competitive selection procedure, or procedures for professional services. But those are two different methods of source selection, and the laws governing them are not the same. Okay? Does that answer your question, Mr. Kennedy?
No, it's a bit confusing because I keep hearing the word bid, and yet I have we went out even on the media for an RFP.
Personnel, let me just kind of do it from a, not from a legal perspective, but a simple from an audit perspective. In a similar appeal about with Tomorrow Affairs, we have the same issue. There was, again, confusion on the part of DCA. This was in a matter where they went out on an RFP for collection services. in an RFP, the credentials of the bidder, of the proposer is evaluated. Price is not an issue. What we ruled was that collection services did not fall under this title professional services. When we talk about professional services, we talk about auditing services, attorney services, architectural services, doctor. Those types of services are traditionally what is referred to as professional services. Okay. And so we had told that they used the wrong bid. They used the wrong procurement. They used an RFP when it should have been an ISB. This is the same issue that Mr. Moyer now is raising again in this particular procurement. The issue here to be decided is whether or not cleaning services falls under the title of RFP under professional services. I would suggest you go back and look at that appeal, because those are the very issues Mr. Moylan is raising. What we have found is an entity does not know the difference and mixes the two, and this is the predicament we are in. Going back further as to what can be disclosable, in an RFP, until the award is made, nothing is disclosable. Once the award is made, the only information that is disclosable to the public is the winning bidder. The information of the other bidders in an RFP, in a proper RFP, are not disclosable. In an IFB, which is an invitation for bid, and which the vast majority of government procurement is, the lowest price wins once you have qualified all the bidders that they do have a license, et cetera, however you've aligned it. And we see just preliminarily shades of what you did the last time. Right. Again, the confusion on the part of the entity as to what is the proper method of procurement. And we don't want to get into the details of that, because that's what the hearing will be all about. This is where I would caution you that mixing the two, you cannot have shades of an RFP and an ISB in the same procurement. And that is the issue that Mr. Moylan is raising. Is that
that clarifies a lot of questions. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anything else?
No, that'll be all.
Okay, now I'm going to issue a scheduling order for the pre-hearing conference. That should be coming out today or tomorrow. Okay? So nothing further than this hearing is adjourned, and an order will issue. Thank you. We're off to run.
Okay.